Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. Pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon us as we take this time to read and study your word and to lift up your praises. I know there are folks that aren't here, can't be here, Lord, and we do miss them. We think on Colin, Lord, and pray still for his life, for John as well, for Carolyn and Stephen, for those that have been invited. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would give heed a little bit more to your call than to our call. Please bless this time, Lord, wherever your people are gathered together in the world, in this country right now, in the world in general. Please, Lord, let it be a help and a blessing to each and every person. Let us not forget, Father, that the reason why the Western world stops for a day or two is, well, it's supposed to be about your son, and not just about playing with toys and gifts and one thing and another. Father, we love you and praise you, and we thank you, Father, for loving us and for saving our souls. And I pray you, Lord, that you be one of our number this morning. We love you and thank you, and we ask it all in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's have a look at our... we are okay to read this morning because I've already talked to you about that. And let's go to number 29 in the wee black book. Number 29, we have a mostly little black book service this morning. And number 29 is Precious Lord, Take My Hymn Number 29.
Thank you. She knew what to read, see?
Please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Norman's favourite chapter. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Eshron, and Eshron begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rachel, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias. Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren, about the time that they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Sathaniah, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Ezra, and Ezra begat Sarah, and Sarah begat Hakim, and Hakim begat Heliud, and Heliud begat Heliazar, and Heliazar begat Nathan, and Nathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations of Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until carrying away into Babylon, of 14 generations. And from carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, of 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take her unto thee, Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised up from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bid him, took him into his come to his wife. And knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name
Jesus.
Amen. And you will just for a couple of minutes bear with me and turn to Philippians 4, please. And Philippians 4, as I was reading last night, came to me. I was wondering what to read, what to say today, for my 5 minutes. And these verses came to me, and the Lord said, why don't you give some of your testimony of what happened last year that I did for you, and bear in mind the verses that I have taught you over the time that you've been reading my word. And he came to me, and verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, give thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now last year, I don't remember much about it, but I have witnesses here today to it. My wife and Mark and Monica were there at the hospital. I had a massive cataclysmic heart attack, is what they call it. Not just one, two. And I died. But before that, I was in triage, and the doctor came to me and told me I was having a massive attack. And she said, you look so calm and so cool. They're taking me up to the lab. I said, yeah, okay. I had been thinking on the Lord's word, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. It's always stay with me. Let me not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I did. And I did. And I said, Lord, whatever is going to happen, your will. So they took me up to the lab, and I don't remember anything. I remember the light of the theater light shining in my face. And the doctor told me that the third stent was going into my heart. And I just said, I can't breathe. Lord, I can't breathe. And the next thing is, I woke up in ICU. Now, between that and then, I don't know what happened. You guys did, I don't. But all the time that it was happening, and then I see you, the thing came to me. And this verse came to me, not by speaking want, not by speaking respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, there was to be content. And content came over me. And I felt a arm around me. I can't explain it. It wasn't the comfy of the bed. It wasn't that I was lying on my back. Because I had a thing on my face. And I chewed down my whatever. And I didn't want those things, but it made me content with what I've got. Because at that time I wanted to rip them off. And the nurse stopped me from ripping them off. Then after that, I spent weeks in ICU, and then I was moved down to the art ward. And in the art ward, I had to learn how to walk. My wife knows these things, and so does Mark. They put me on the Zimmer frame. I had to learn how to stand first, and I had to push myself up in a way. So I then grabbed the frame. And I tried once and I fell back. I tried twice and I fell. For the third time, it came to me, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I thought for a minute, I got myself together, and I've got to do this if I want to walk again. So Stephen, the physiotherapist, was before me, and the other two at the side of me. And I put my fist on the bed, and I pushed up, and I grabbed, and I stood up for the first time in weeks. My legs were heavy, my legs were tired, and I felt them buckling, but I stood up, and he said, right, now sit down. And I sat down and said, right, that's enough for today. That was fine. But I wanted to do more. And God said again, be content. I read the word God in my phone. Be content with what you have. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Fine. Next day the physios came, I couldn't do anything because I'd been to dialysis. No, not then. I wasn't in dialysis then. I tried again. And this time I had to sidestep to go to my chair, to sit in the chair. I had to go forward first, one step, and then to sidestep. And my legs felt weaker and weaker. And again, the Lord encouraged me. You can do all things through me. I strengthened me. I give thanks to God. The next thing, I was doing my steps. And they applauded me for it. All these things had happened to me in December. And then I was being released from hospital. And then something else happened to me and I was back in ICU again. 13 weeks, or was it 15? I can't remember. I spent in hospital, and the third time I died and was brought back by CPR. God was with me, and I felt God with me. And I am a living testament to God's greatness. And God wants me to tell you this, that wherever you are, wherever you're going through, He will be with you. So I am passing that on to you. Because He was with me. And I will never, never, never forget it. Amen.
Thanks for the Bible reading and the wee bit of testimony. I thought you were doing well just to get through all the names in the first chapter. But you did a bang up job. We should have a competition on that someday just for the crack.
No, because
there's many a time whenever we're reading. I remember a pastor that used to be here, and when it came to long lists of names, he'd be going, and that guy, and the next guy, and the next guy. And Pat tries to fob those verses off on us whenever we're reading, but some of them can be quite a mouthful, especially when they have two vowels together. But we appreciate that, Steve. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
There's not very much matters whenever you're in that situation, except whether your soul is saved and you've got God with you. Amen. Just want to remind everybody of the little Christmassy holly green prayer list. We might have berry red next week, I don't know.
For Christmas Day.
And then the following one would be blue. And then we're going to hang them all in the back of the seat. So we've got the Christmas colours, the red, the green and the blue. Not political in any way, just Christmas colours. But I will say, I have noticed very few the lights on the old bridge used to be multicoloured, and now it is just white and gold, and it just doesn't, there's a whole lot of things that would make it seem like Christmas. But Steve mentioned early on that he had something to do with a Christmas present to us, was him being in hospital last year, and I wondered what he was going to do for us this year. I hope it's not an action replay. So make sure you behave yourself. We were talking about Christmas presents. Anyway, are there any additions to our prayer list? Mrs. Bradfield, you go ahead. Pearl. Please pray for Pearl. She She had a fall there on Friday, I think it was. So please do remember her. Steve, go ahead.
I want us to pray for two renal nurses, one at Una, and the other one in Chinese nurse called Chi. Una likes talking to me about the apocalypse. That's how we're talking about Jesus. So just pray that our talks, when she's in, the big time at all, and may see something for her.
Yes,
the right answers for her. The other one, she goes to a Catholic church. She is Catholic, but she has accepted Christ as her Savior. So we talk and we. I don't mention you much because. But
it's not about me, it's about the Lord.
I know, that's what I mean. So we talk, she's quite happy to. But she loves Amazing Grace.
That is a great thing, that Amazing Grace. Any other prayer requests? Anybody got any private?
Yes. This is God, nothing personal, but.
Any private prayer requests? Keep that private. Keep that private, Steve. Yes, indeed. Okay, thank you very much. Has the Lord been doing anything that anyone would like to thank Him for over the past week?
I'm
just
doing very well.
That's good.
That's what it is.
Yes, Steve.
Last week and a couple of weeks before, I found myself to have an ECG done. The first time my nurse told me that my blood pressure had dropped and I didn't recognize it or something like that. And they had to test my heart. And last week, I got one again. So, please pray
for your blood pressure.
Yeah,
that'll do. Okey-doke. If there's nothing else, we'll have a wee word of prayer, or at least we'll have a word of prayer for us, and then we'll sing some more songs. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for everything that's to come as well, Lord. We want for a number, Lord. And Lord, give us a blessing today, Lord, that we may know about and carry forth through this next week and Lord, in the following week as well, Lord. We praise a good holy name, Lord, and remember this time of year, not just for the present stuff, just for Jesus Christ being born, but for the present that Jesus Christ extolled him, for carrying his death on the cross, he died to save us from our sins, Lord. And may be our Savior, Lord, and care for us and love us and receive for us as well, Lord. Good Absent Brother, good Colin, keep safe and well. Also good Frank as well, Lord. Also good Colin, keep safe and well, Lord. Heal him, mighty and powerful, Lord, wherever he is, Lord, and stop him from any harm, and keep him safe and well, and bring him back to us alive, Lord. Save Stephen Colin and John, Lord. And Lord, also good thank you for Steve, Lord, and his health, Lord, and improve him, Lord, and see a blessing, Lord. May even the doctors and nurses see your work in his life, Lord, and as it tells him, the Lord Jesus Christ, you died and passed away from sin as well. As a witness, Lord, use him to convince people that they need a Savior and need Jesus Christ in their lives as their own personal Savior, Lord. We also have John Bradford, keep safe and well, Lord, and bring him back to us, Lord. Maybe have fellowship as well, Lord, keep him safe as well, Lord. Your Father, come to love with God, Lord. May today be a blessing to us, Lord, and may we see your message about the Bible, Lord, and the Christians who are slowly dead, Lord. And I give Mark a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and bless us and keep us for our Lord, Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our little black books again and move towards the back, not the back of the church, but the back of the book. We had a request for number 79, I think, wasn't it? Number 79 is Good Christian Men Rejoice. Number 79 in the back of the books, three black books, Good Christian Men Rejoice.
I knew not my
to take your Bibles this morning, yep, still this morning, and turn to the book of, goodness, I can't even see that, Joshua, get my glasses out. I thought I was doing well to be able to sing the hymns in the wee black book, but they're extra big. The writing's extra big in that, and the writing's extra small in my notes. So we're in Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. This is our, technically, this is our Christmas message, although we will, I am sure we will hear a few more between now and Christmas Day. But I want to speak on the subject of let us not forget or don't forget. This is from Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. It's good to see each one of you here. I am very glad that you're all here, because if you weren't, I don't think I'd be able to leave, I don't think the trousers would fit me by the time I finished all the food in next door. So I'm glad you're here to help get rid of it all.
Me too.
Amen. And I look forward to a bit of fellowship and food after the preaching and the song. And then we're going to come in, we're going to sing a few Christmassy songs, have a wee time of prayer and a few thoughts, not as long as this. And then we will be on our way home. And I don't know if the teachers, ever said to you, and you can have the rest of the day off for your good behavior. Amen. I want to read about 19 verses from this portion of God's Word, and we're speaking on the subject of don't forget, and this is our, technically, our Christmas message. The Bible says, and it came to pass, all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of the Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Amen. That is the account of the children of Israel entering into the promised land. And for the second time in 40 years, the Lord split the Red Sea once, and he split the Jordan once so that the people could pass over. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. I pray your good hand upon all of us, that you would bless this time in your word to us. And not to us only, Lord, but wherever our brothers and sisters are opening your word and preaching and teaching the full counsel of it, we just pray that you would bless it. I pray especially that you'd be with Bishop at this time, and that you would be with the Seelys and the family and church family and the Askwist and their family and church family in America, and Stan of the Banger, and all the many men that are standing to face the full counsel of your word. Please, Lord, I pray you bless them at this time. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, and be with us, Lord, for the remainder of our time in your house. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We're not going to go into all the details on this particular portion of Scripture, but this is the account of the children of Israel after coming through upwards of 440 years of very, very hard times in Egypt and a time of trial, 40 years in the wilderness. Goodness, it was a very difficult time. It got so bad in Egypt that the Egyptians weren't even thinking twice about killing their children. You all know the story of Moses and how the Pharaoh had commanded the children to be thrown into the Nile so that the crocodiles would eat them and so that they wouldn't grow powerful in the country. Anyway, they had 40 years in the wilderness where God fed them every day. Then 40 years where their clothes never wore out. I wish I had clothes like that. And 40 years wherewith the Lord went before them day and night in a cloudy pillar and a fiery pillar. And whenever the pillar stopped, the people stopped. And whenever the pillar went, the people went. And after this, and of course the manna in the wilderness, the quail in the wilderness, the plague of snakes, the probably one of the clearest instances of Christ being like the serpent lifted up on the pole and the people being commanded to look at the pole and you will be spared from your snake bite. After many instances, and one that really, really comes to mind when a couple of pretenders to the throne of Moses, and I use that term in quotes, were swallowed up by the earth for daring to speak against Moses and God, they come to the Jordan. And as they're going across the Jordan into the promised land to claim it a kingdom at a time, the Lord says to Joshua, I want, as you go through the Jordan, I want one man from each of the tribes to lift a rock or a stone from the middle of the Jordan and take it over to the other side. And he was also commanded to take a rock and lay them up in the middle of the Jordan. And I'm sure they haven't been looked at since. But there is a reason for these things. And I know sometimes when children look at parents, when parents explain to children, I want you to do it this way, and the child doesn't know why, but does it because the parent asks or tries to find a shortcut. There is a reason for it, and the Lord explains this reason to us. And I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8. The reason for these stones is that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean you by these stones?" then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And it wasn't just, it was like a testimony. It wasn't just that they were going to remember that the Lord had parted the Jordan. Because let's be honest, whenever you as a Christian go into the company of others, it is not just the fact that you're a Christian that you take with you. You take the conviction of the Holy Spirit to those souls with you. So the children would say, "Dad, what are these stones for?" And their father would say, "God sent us to Egypt to save us from a famine. God delivered us from Egypt 400 years later, and he turned all the gods of Egypt up on their head. He defeated them. He fed us through the wilderness. He clothed us in the wilderness. He watered us in the wilderness. He saved us in the wilderness. And he brought us across." It was everything would come to the minds of the fathers to pass on to the children. So that from generation to generation, the children of Israel should not forget the great works of God. Now, one thing to notice is that after this job was done, that the Jordan came back together again. And it went back to overflowing its banks. And I got to thinking that the Lord never starts a job without finishing a job. He is the Alpha and the Omega. If he starts something, he's going to finish it. When a soul repents and believes in Jesus Christ, he is completely saved. He's not partially saved. He's completely saved. There's no more saving to do of your soul. Your home in heaven is secured because God keeps it in the palm of his hand. The only bit of you that needs to be saved is your life. And you do that by listening to what God says to you day by day, and the Bible says everything will work out for the best. You'll never be left. You'll never be forsaken. You will never be cast out. Once you're God's, you're his forever. It was done so that people would remember. And I want you to bear that in mind. Do not forget. Now, here we are right now, what date is it? The 11th? 10th of December, 2023. I want you to notice a few things. I am sure if you do any travel at all, you've noticed how much busier it has got. It was almost like about a fortnight ago, many times as we drove to church, there was hardly any traffic. You'd maybe get a handful of cars coming across the bridge on their way home. I got a surprise when it was just as busy as it was during the day as we were heading out to church. The traffic has picked up. The footfall in the shops has picked up as people run here and there to buy food. I don't know about you, but I have noticed the attitudes of people has certainly changed as well as they go about doing these things. McDonald's especially. You don't want to go to McDonald's up at the Crescent Link if you look like me and you may have cash in your pocket. Because they seem to have a beef with me right now. Anyway, we have had two or more years of lockdown where we were constantly being put in fear and told to stay away from everybody else, when our inclination, especially in this part of the world, is towards hospitality. We're told to stay away from loved ones. We have had terrorist attacks on Israel that came to a head just over 2 months ago that led to the murders and kidnapping of well over 1,000 Jewish citizens and even some Muslims as well. And it makes all of these things, and I don't know if you've noticed the banks shutting down as well, making it more difficult for you to work with cash, they make for an odd atmosphere at a time that is traditionally set aside to think about and to worship this Jesus Christ that gave his life on the cross for us. A time that is set aside to remember his coming into the world and a few of the things that happened then, over 2,000 years ago. And I want for you to understand and recall to mind, whenever you hear in the news people claiming that Israel stole the land from the Palestinians 75 years ago, that 2,000 years ago the Jewish Messiah was born in the land of the Jews in Israel in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Just in case someone's quibbling about 7.5 decades. It didn't just become Jewish 75 years ago. It has been since Joshua marched into it about 3,500 years ago. Sadly, I think you probably noticed that the emphasis is being shifted away from thinking on God at Christmas. I know as a child, I had zero inclination towards God. I would have died if I had to go to church and not got to build my HMS Belfast that I got at least on two occasions for Christmas. I would have thought I was getting the death of 1,000 cuts if I couldn't have opened all of my toys and had to go to church. And I am sure I was like many children. But as the years have gone on, someone once said, middle age is where a broad mind and a narrow waist exchange places, become very narrow-minded and broad-waisted. I have seen the error of my ways, and I need to make a point of remembering Jesus Christ born into the world. That same Jesus that will save any sinner, that will admit to God that they're wrong and that he was right, that will repent of their sins and trust in the Savior that so lovingly and needfully presents his Son to us. People have made it all about getting things and giving things and partying. And the real reason for this season, at the risk of borrowing a phrase from the world, has been forgotten. Even the shops open on the Lord's Day, and many times the Crescent Link is busier on a Sunday afternoon than it is any other day in the week. And it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine, because that's why we would tend to be up there on a Sunday, because at least when they're up worshipping their pagan gods, I feel like Paul, whenever he was in Athens and there was an altar to the unknown god, they're worshipping the god of, well, Argos isn't there anymore, and Maplin isn't there anymore, but you get the idea. B&M and Next and Boots and Homebase and PC World, they're all worshipping at the altar of these gods. They might as well hear about that unknown god. But that has taken the place, quite literally. It's not that they're worshipping the devil at midnight. They're casting their vote with their feet, if you like. I must go to church on a Sunday morning, and I turn up to Belfast, to Bethel. These souls must worship at the feet of their God, and they turn up at a retail park. And it's not just there. I don't know if you remember being in school as a wee un. Do you ever remember doing RE? I hated that when I was in school. I was a bad wee devil until I got saved, let me tell you. I had the heart of a devil. But I do remember one or two born-again people in the RE class who enjoyed being it and could answer the questions. And I remember we didn't hear about Islam, and we didn't hear about Hinduism. We certainly didn't hear about paganism. And if you mentioned anything about the LGBT movement, you would have been laughed at by the children and you might have gotten slapped by the teachers. That RE was about Jesus, and it was about Bible stories. Now, it's been replaced by, in quotes, an appreciation of all the aforementioned religions. And I want for you to understand just for a moment that many people might think, well, we should have an understanding of other religions. I would say yes, if you are getting ready to contend with them, to lead people from them to the foot of the cross. Here is a secular, real-life fact. Has anybody not heard of J.K. Rowling? Has anybody not heard of Harry Potter? A lot of people say, oh, J.K. Rowling, she's a great girl. She stands up against transgender, this, that, or the other. I know it. There's something about J.K. Rowling. She is an arch heretic, and she has been one of the greatest proponents of modern-day witchcraft and paganism on the face of this world, because even when the first Harry Potter books and then films came out, interest in young people in real-life witchcraft went through the roof. And how many young people have been lost to that way of life ever since. I even know from my sister's school where I would get the occasional invite to go down and give a children's address. You all know that I like a pocket knife or a flashlight, and I had a machete in my backpack for some demonstration, and I got talked out of it by Monica, and in retrospect I think she was right. For demonstrating stuff, you just never knew what was going to come out of my backpack doing the children's address. Could have been bags of sweets, could have been anything. But anyway.
Basketball.
Yes, indeed. But they haven't had, I don't think they have had a Christian address for the children in the morning since they got back from Poland. And that used to be a regular event. I am sure if Frank was here, he would be able to tell us that during Ramadan, Sadiq Khan, I think, and this is a pet peeve of mine again, in what was supposed to be one of the great centres of, in quotes, Britishness and Christianity, was able to put up huge signs with flashing lights wishing everybody a happy Ramadan, but couldn't be bothered to put up one that said Happy Christmas for the Christians that have welcomed him into the country and enabled him to hold the position that he has. These are just examples, friends. But they're examples of the Word of God at every turn being substituted, is too nice a word, supplanted by substandard counterfeits. Everything, Christian holidays, Christian activities, Christian celebrations, goodness. Steve was showing me a thing from Revelation 12, and I thought there was something, I think it was the New King James Bible that was from. So, even things like that are coming from different Bibles, and the New King James Bible is not a good Bible either. And sometimes these things in America, they don't even like the Ten Commandments in the courthouses anymore, because the judges and even many of the police are as dirty and corrupt as the criminals they're prosecuting. TV programming as well. And that's what it is. Presents Christians as troublemakers. Just like they did to the Jews in Germany at the start of the First and Second World War. And how did that work out for the Jewish people? We see that starting. Everything out there is to make us forget about God, is to make little of God and present a God that is powerless or only does half a job. Things like family under attack. Things like the Word of God are under attack. Things like you and I are under attack. Things like standards. Standards of language, standards of fellowship, standards of dress, standards of behavior, standards, goodness, even in schools. Even some fool is the only word that comes to mind right now, in America said that studying mathematics was racist. Can you believe that? That is where we're at in this world. And all of those things that will lift people up physically, spiritually, intellectually, educationally, and career-wise, are made little of. And they make much of drinking, and partying, and immorality, blasphemy, profanity. Just pick a sin, and it's lifted up and glorified on TV. And here's the thing, if you want to know if it's good for you or not. Every year about this time, the government always sponsors a series of ads on, anybody any ideas? Drinking and driving. Because what do people do? They go out and they follow these lifestyles that are actually very harmful to people. Don't drink and drive, and they give show these horrific accidents or aftermaths of accidents. And you want to follow that lifestyle, that's fine. But they never have to warn us about the dangers of going to church. No one's going to be drinking and driving coming from church, and if you are, it's not a Christian church. You don't have to worry about a visit to the STD clinic up in Altnagelvin after you've been fellowshipping at a Bible-believing church. You don't have to worry about an illegitimate child because you've been going out to fellowship at church. But all these things are warned about for all of these other lifestyles. And people should, goodness, if only people would stop think and remember, why is it mom and dad seem to have their heads screwed on? Why is it the older people seem to have less drama in their lives? Why is it that these people that go to church are not, you're not reading about them in the back page of the newspaper having been killed in a fight after a night's drinking in a bar? There is a great effort to hide and to make people forget and make sure even that they never hear about their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks are always going to believe in something, and if they don't have Christ, there's always a much inferior and much more harmful substitute to take the place. What was that thing we said? If you don't believe in stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't believe in something, you'll believe anything. If you don't have Christ at the center of your life, you have an inferior substitute. Now the sad thing about it is, and it is going to be this way, because I have read the last few chapters of this book that we spend so much time in, and I know the good guys. When I know the God that picked me out of the muck and the mire and set me on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life, I know he wins. But I am going to tell you the sad end of at least half of the world's population. They're going to be killed, they're going to be drowned, they're going to be poisoned, they're going to be attacked with animals, they're going to be hit with hailstones the size of a talent. I think that's something like 50 pounds. That is the sad end. And many people will never find out until they stand in front of God. God doesn't want that. That's one of the reasons why God says to send forth laborers, because the fields are white unto harvest. We say that charity begins at home. Have you ever heard that? So does a walk with the Lord each day. And that is why it is so important. You might have a day. We had a day today. I woke up at just before 6 o'clock, went downstairs, got a glass of water, saw that it was just about 10 to 6 and went back up to bed again. And then things started. Monica got up and she put the turkey on. And then it was at 7 o'clock, it was like we jumped out of bed with running shoes on and Monica was getting potatoes ready, I think, and carrots and sprouts and stuffing, and it was up and down and here and there and back and forwards to the church. And we didn't get our Bible reading, or we would normally read the Bible at breakfast. A one-off is okay, but not reading your Bible every day should not be a standard for you. We need to remember the Word of God, because it contains everything that we need to know about God, and that so many promises and warnings and helps and comforts for us. We need to read that. We need to pray each day. If we don't spend time in prayer in God's presence, the world, the flesh, and the devil will have some other way for you to start your day, and it won't be as good. We need to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ and pray for them. Should you do nothing else but pray for them? You are all prayed for every day, at least once every day. By me. Not just by each other, by me. And I know as you go through different difficult times in your life, you slip up and down the priority list. We need to remember our brothers and sisters. The Bible says you know you're saved if you can stick other Christians. We need to remember church, because the Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I think one of the things that young Colin mentioned, that sounds awful whenever I say young Colin, and he is substantially younger than me. Half my age, how's that? My goodness. I remember that never happened anywhere that I was. He related to me that the Ukrainian government wasn't going to let him and 10 other men get out of their contracts, but complete the contracts. They were going to keep them in the army. And one of the things I said to him was, get in touch with them, stay in touch with them, and approach whomever together. Because 10 versus the Ukrainian government is a lot harder to hide than 1 versus the Ukrainian government. We need fellowship. And we need to be with like-minded people. We need to help each other. We need to tithe. We need to minister and do things and allow God to work in our lives and let him show us his power in our lives. Whenever we give a little bit to him, see how much he gives back to us. And when you make good, and I know it seems like a little bit of a quid pro quo, eternity is free. But your walk with God here is going to cost you. It's going to cost you tears and friends and opportunities and maybe even the odd night's sleep. But when you obey God, you will see miracles happen in your life. You will find that you personally are stronger and that a lot of stuff doesn't bother you anymore. And when the world is doing its best to flood you with fear and worry and just the general white noise of life, remember God sent his Son into this world to save your soul. For the end of the ages of eternity, to adopt you and I and anybody who will into his family with an adoption that can't be undone. That's for you and I. To save us from the wrath to come, and it is coming, believe you me, and to prepare a home for us in heaven for the end of the ages of eternity with him. And not only that, but to spend the rest of your life right here with him. There is a little verse, I can't recall where it is, might be James 1, might be James 2. Might be one of our previous to that memory verses that said, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you will be a good minister of Christ. And that's what we need. If I say to you now, what's your favourite lemonade? You might not realise it, but all of the ads that you have seen on TV and all of the lemonades that you have drunk will immediately flash through your head, and most people will say Coca-Cola. It's a rotten drink. It's good for cleaning money and I think rusty bolts and stuff like that. Not for much else. It's all about what you remember. It's all about your exposure to what the world, the flesh, and the devil will tell you. And that is why, just like it was so important for the little children, whenever they saw this, and whenever they asked their dads, what's this all about? That their dads could tell them the great things that God had done for them. And that's, again, why it's so important that we stay with our dad, our Heavenly Father, and remember the things and ask him, Lord, what's this about? And he will show us about the great things that he has done for us. It's so important. I've got a Bible reading, because I just felt that I had to do a Christmassy Bible reading. This is the thing that nobody wants to hear this Christmas. This is in Luke chapter 2. If you want to take a turn there with me, by all means. If you don't, just listen. And I thought Steve was going to read from this one, but he read from Matthew. This is from Luke chapter 2. We're going to read maybe 15 or 20 verses. 20. And at this time of year, when everybody else even refuses to say Merry Christmas, remember this. Remember that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Second last verse that we read is what we need to do. We need to keep all these things and ponder them in our hearts. Only we need to do it sooner rather than later, for life, and when, especially whenever you're looking back at it, seems all too short, with many missed opportunities for considering God's gift to us of His Son. And there is an eternity to live, with either the consequences in hell and the lake of fire, or the benefits and rewards in heaven with God forever. Like the title says, please don't forget. No matter what is going on, please don't forget. Stopping there. God bless you. Thank you for your great patience. I appreciate your time and attention. All right, I have possibility of where are we? Let's do an old favourite, 433. 433 in the big book. You can probably all know this by heart. That's the one they teach all the little children, away in a manger, and if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. I'm not going to even embarrass myself by not reading the words. But if you can sing aloud the words, amen. Presence and the promise of it, for like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, and for this time we've been able to spend around your word. Please bless our food, please bless our fellowship, and the following few songs and time of prayer afterwards, and the rest of this day, Lord, and even as we go, please make us mindful Whatever it is, day by day, that we need, Lord. Just thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. For the gift that makes all things new, Lord. We thank you for that. Please bless us. And Lord, be one of our number as we take this time, Lord. Not around your word, but around your gift. We love you and praise you. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. And if you need to, go outside and get your good eating trousers.
I think it looks pretty bright. Well, you could leave one bar, but yep, just.